So today's daf is daf Chof Vav Masechet Beitza, daf Shin Samach Zayin. We're holding on the Mishnah and Chof Hei Amid Beis, and we shall begin with
Suk the Heilige Mishnah.
B'chol Shenafal Lebor. Here we have a complex situation because we have an animal that falls into a pit. So the shaila is, we'd like to rescue the animal from the pit, but the shaila is, do we go to the Tircha of taking out an animal that we're not going to be using? Just say, okay, so use it. But this is a Bechor. Bechor is only kosher to use if it has a mum. We don't know yet that it has a mum, or perhaps it may have a mum, but we don't know that mum is a mum, that it's mutter b'shkai, because we have to have a mumcha check it. Now, it's reasonable to assume, as we'll see in a moment, that it's talking about that it had a mum, and that we just didn't know if it was a mum kavuat shechta. Why do I say that? Because Rabbi Yehuda, I remember Rabbi Yehuda Shita all over, is that he's the one who holds a muksa. So if we were talking about that there was no mum before it fell into the board, there'd be nothing to discuss. Because even if I find the mum now, it's not going to help me. This thing was muksa, according to him. Because when it came time, Yontif was chal, this was a Bechor tam, it wasn't kosher to shecht, and my das is not on it to shecht. It's a gandik, I can't use it. Therefore, it's reasonable if Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Yered mumchev yir'eh im yesh mumum. He says a mumche should go down into the boar. So we're not allowed to take the animal stam out of the boar in the event that maybe we'd be able to use it in yantav. The mumche should go down first and take a look. Im yesh bo mum. So if he has now a mum that is mutter to eat, so now yalevi yishchot, now lift it out of the boar, and now you can shecht it. But im lav lo yishchot. If not, then there's no way to shecht us. Now, it's impossible to say that we should be talking, therefore, l'chora, about a b'chor tam, correct? Because otherwise, Rabbi Yehuda certainly would never have said that you can shecht it if there was no mum at all. Because, he's the one that's machmer all over. Okay? This is how Rashi learns. So therefore, we're going to have to assume that that's the case over here. If the mum fell, therefore, on Yontif Gufa, it wouldn't have helped, according to Rabbi Yehuda. Because it's mukta. So therefore, what the Mishnah essentially is saying is that a Bechor that had a mum, that fell, that hadn't yet been shown to a Chacham, and it had this before Yontav, and now it fell into a boar on Yontav, so now we should bring an expert, lower him down into the pit, check out and see whether the mum that had been there before was indeed a mum that was kavua, that was mutter for me to eat on. So fine, so then you can lift it out of the boar and you can check it. Because in this case, it's not mukta. But im lav lo yishchot.
So why doesn't it say im lav lo yala?
Oh, Gemara will ask that. Rabbi Shimon Omer, ko she'in mumal nikar mi ba'od yom, ein zemen amucha. If I didn't know that this was a mum that I could shecht on before, then for some reason, ein zemen amucha, that sounds absolutely crazy. Rabbi Shimon is the one who doesn't hold. He's arguing with Rabbi Yehuda that Rabbi Yehuda is being Mako, and he's saying it's okay, and Rabbi Shimon is saying it's not considered to be Muchan because I didn't know that it was kosher to Shechtan before. That's impossible. He's the person who doesn't hold a Muktzah. How could he be telling Rabbi Yehuda that, oh no, there's going to be a problem, because even if it turns out that the Mum was right to Shechtan, you didn't know, and therefore since you didn't know, it's considered to be not Muzman for Yontif. This is a reversal of Shitas, which is completely unacceptable, says Rashi. Therefore, says Rashi, the meaning of Ein Zemen Amuchan in this case is going to have to mean something completely different. Ein Zemen Amuchan means it's not prepared for such a heter. Meaning that since over here it's Daime to being Mitaken on Yontif, don't we have a halacha that ein danim es adin on Yontif? Okay? So this is like that. It's not correct for a mumcha. I just wanted to recharge. It's not correct for a mumcha to see it on Yontif because it would be basically being matir and making something for food on Yontif, which wasn't prepared before. And therefore, it's considered to be like a tikkun. So it's a gzeira. I'm not using the word eno min hamuchan as a borrowed term, and it turns out to be ironic that it's Rabbi Shimon, who generally isn't makbid as much on Achana's books as Rabbi Yehuda is, and he should be telling Rabbi Yehuda eno min hamuchan. So he's using a play on words. This is how Rashi understands the sugya. Tosfos says, no, this is not acceptable. The main reason is not acceptable because the Gemara in Shabbos uses this Mishnah to ask a kasha on Rabbi Shimon that he says to himself in terms of the dinim of muksa. So obviously the Gemara held that when he said Eino min hamuchan, he meant Eino min hamuchan in the classical sense. So then, but if we're going to take it seriously as meaning Eino min hamuchan, so that we have a very strange reversal of shitas between Rabbi and Rabbi Shimon, and what is the alternative to learning the Mishnah over here? So therefore, Tosfos is like this. Look, there's no escaping the fact Eino min hamuchan means it's not roy yet because wasn't ready for yontiv, and therefore even if you were over and you were mevaker it wouldn't be kosher to eat because it would be mukta. So it's a dinner mukta. Well, what's the machlokas based on over here? How is it possible that we have such a reversal of shitas? So it says it's based on the shaila whether roy and mumin. Can you see a mum on yontiv or not? There's also, obviously, from the additional lashon of ein zeh min hamuchan, which adds a new ingredient, he could have, Rav Shimon could have just said, ein rei. And that's also, the mumcha shouldn't go down. Since he throws in the words ein min hamuchan, he's obviously adding that even if someone was over to be reya a mum, the mumcha should be reya the mum on yontiv, I would answer it mitam mukta anyway. Right? So that would be the case over here. So therefore, it says Tosfos, how do we explain the reversal of the shitas? And how does it make sense that Rabbi Yehuda should be made? It says very simple. It's very simple because it all comes to be dependent on whether Rayan Mumin on Yantav or not. If you hold that Rayan Mumin be Yantav, and there was a mum that was kavua bietmo that I agree with, but we didn't know if it was roy to eat or not. Okay, but if Rayan, so my das is on it, then I'm going to wait. The mumcha is going to be here at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. I'll ask him. So that's not called Eino min hamuchan. But if you hold like Rabbi Shimon that ain rain, so that it's that then Rabbi Shimon's made in certain muktas where it's been set aside via daim. Well, over here it's set aside maybe because of iser, so not allowed to. So he's made in those cases to mukta. So therefore, it turns out that you have an interesting reversal of shitas estesis. But certainly he means seriously muchan, not as a borrowed term. Okay, so we have two ways of understanding the Mishnah. So according to Rashi, ein zeh min hamuchan simply means that we are not matir rias mumim. It's not a different lashon. According to Tosfos, ein zeh min hamuchan is based on an assumption that ein rayin mumim, and memela, literally ein min hamuchan, and he turns out to be more makbid and mukts in this case than Rabbi Yehuda, because Rabbi Yehuda also, you could have been rayin mumim. Fine. Now, the shaila is like this. Is this a simple machlokas? It's on the surface, it seems to be, that we're simply arguing about whether rayin mumim, right? So, he named it rayin mumim, as it appears on the surface that the machlokas over here is gufa, in whether rayin mumim on yantiv or not. That, in other words, Rabbi Yehuda Savar Ro'in Mumin B'yantiv, in which case there's no problem with Mokza. Rabbi Shimon Savar Ein Ro'in Mumin B'yantiv, in which case, according to Tosfos, there is literally a problem with Einam and Amuchan. According to Rashi, there's just a question of Isser. You shouldn't have been over to be Raya. So then I understand, what do we need this crazy case of the bar that fell into a bar? It's very simple. Just say, if I have a Bukhar that has a Mum, am I allowed to have a Mumcha Rayan or not? We complicate the case with it fell into a bar, which is completely irrelevant to the Machlokas. So, Liflaga Baray Mum in the Alma. Understand? Just tell me a straight out simple Machlokas. What's this Bukhar Shinafala Bar jazz here at all? No, the Bukhar Shinafala Bar adds an interesting element. It's Trichala, you see. I need to know that even in that case, we would also be makbid not to be Raya Mumin. Because why would I think otherwise? Because Salka da'atecha mina mishum tsa'ar ba'alei chayim la'arim velaske. We'll see later on that Rabbi Yoshua's shita is in a case where you have otoved beno. So both the mother and the child fell into a bor. So now I have a problem. I can't possibly eat both of them today. So, but I need to save them from the bor. So he said, you know what? You could be mari. So he determined to eat the first one, take it out, and then say, you know what? I think the other one's better. Maybe I'll eat the other one. And then take out the other one. That way you'll end up being able to be matzil both of them. So I might think that in this case, because it's Tzar Bala Chaim, I should be ma'arim v'liske. Ma'arim over here doesn't mean literally ma'arim the way it means in the other cases. Because, I mean, over there, there really is arom. In other words, if what I say is true, I'll be able to eat number one. If I say what is true, then I'll be able to eat number two. Over here, it's somewhat of a borrowed term. It means larim in the sense of fool yourself. In other words, make an assumption that there must be vadayamum there, that's kosher, and so on and so forth. And that's the pshat. So larim, I might think that in this case, we should allow you to assume that there's a vadayamum there, and that there's no problem, and that therefore I should be able to liske, let me bring the animal up first, Reb Yoshua. Kamash v'lan, no, you have to take the mumcha, lower the mumcha down into the bor. And if you won't find it, that it's a mumcha vua, so that it's tough. You won't be able to bring up the animal.
Then he might die there.
What can you do? Ain't nothing else. That's why I thought I would be matir, but we weren't matir for that problem. So then says the Gemara, but that also doesn't make sense. So then, if you're telling me that the main additional kunz in this Mishnah is the issue of whether I can be maled or not, so then why does the Mishnah... The problem it says imlav lo yishchot isn't telling me anything. The imlav it should say imlav lo ya'alev yishchot. I mean, isn't that the point that you're trying to say? That there's no way for me to get away with fooling around to get it up in order to be sheyach for it. So the main chiddush is you can't even bring it up. So then say lo ya'alev yishchot. He's saying that's why I created this whole strange case, was in order to make sure that I take into my mind that I have to be every man sabar chayim. So why do I leave that out? No, it says the Mishnah. You don't understand. There's two dinim over here. The Mishnah is talking about two separate cases. Look, the moment that I said yered mumcha, the moment I said those words, you understood already that you can't bring up the animal. Otherwise, what's the mumcha going down in a ladder into the pit? That's a given now from the first words of the Mishnah. When I continue to discuss now a further question, whether Yishchot or Lo Yishchot, if he finds a mum, right? That's talking about a case, Lo Tzricha D'Yover V'Aske. That part is talking about, I went ahead and I brought him up. Okay, so now, Sa'akat Aydach Amina Lishchate, so I might think if I was already over, okay, Yered, I wasn't Mekayim Yered, I was Aske. So now, I would think I could shecht it. Because, okay, the main problem over here was the tircha and yanta bringing it up. So go ahead and shecht it. Kamash manafa piken lo yishchot. What are you talking about? Lishchate? The main issue here is not the bringing it up, for God's sake. I mean, the main issue, la halacha, is the question of whether this is a bechor, it's a nisitiraisa. What are you going to shecht it? You have a meaning you would shecht it. What have a meaning you would shecht it? It says, im lav, he didn't find a mum. So what? So Havimin, I should check Kutcha Bechutz, Biorban, and Issachar. So what Havimin is that? A Tamu. The case in the Mishnah is Imlav, meaning the Mumcha doesn't find a Mumkavua. So what are you telling me? Imlav, I have Havimin and Yishkar because I already dragged it up. That's impossible. No, this is the. Again, you're missing the point. It's not the Pshat Imlav that there's no Mum. Imlav is the Pshat if it wasn't that this Mum was there for before Yantiv is the pshat. Of course there's a mum. Look, the animal fell into a bar, came out with a broken leg. So it's got a mum. Now there's no issue. Definitely has a mum. The chiddush of the year is that lo tzrich l'nafa be'muma. It does have a mum. And that's what it's telling me. It has a mum, but you can't check it. What do you mean? Of course not. A muktu. I mean, that's a given. If it just got the mum now, I mean, how would I think that I could check it? We're talking over here, I'll leave it to Rabbi Yehuda. Of course I can't shecht it. No, the point is, here's the issue. The mum was here the whole time. Before Yontev, I already saw there was definitely a Mum Over in this place. That's for sure. So Nabbe Mum Over Meir of Yom Tov. Now it fell into the Bor. Now it became now already a Mum Kavua. So Mao the Tema the Daite Aluye. So I might have thought that, look, in terms of the Yisur of Mukta, so I was already basically hoping that I would be able to use it on Yontev, because it would turn out to end up worse than it was. Therefore, Kamash Malan, even in such a case, where he had been Malay, so there was no problem anymore of Liske, he was over on that. Kamash Malan, that no, you can't do that. Why can't you do it? Maybe, says Rashi, maybe you can't do it, not because Kamash Malan, that nonetheless it is Mukta, but maybe because since you were over, so there was a Knas. You were over and carried it up. So we're kind of you. Or it could be that maybe that is called, maybe that's called Taker Mukta Machmasisa. Because I couldn't have shechted it until then. So it remains Mukta. So, Enachinami. But in either case, that's the Chiddush of the Mishnah. So we have now a rather complicated Mishnah. It's telling us two different things. Pchor falls into a bor. You can't bring it up. Even though it had a mum from before Yontev, you can't bring it up and say, well, I had a mum, mistama, it's a good mum, I'm going to shecht it anyway. The mum is standing right here. No, the mum has to go down in a ladder. That's from the word yerit. Okay. Now I go ahead and I bring the animal up. It definitely has a mum, and it's a mum kavua, the mum kapaskins, that it's 100% not a bukhortam, no problem, I'm able to shecht it and so on. The problem is that before Yontev, I was only able to see a mum that was over. So I might think, okay, but I was already brought it up now, and now it definitely has a mum kavua, and my das was on it, that it was going to be kosher tid on Yontev, hopefully. So I should be able to shecht it in this case, b'diavad, where I was asking. Kamashman, even so, you cannot. Precisely. Why? That's true, Rashi's. Two possibilities. Okay.
You don't need a mumcha for that?
I always need a mumcha. That's halacha. I always need a mumcha because people are marim or mumim, and they put in mumim, and Kohanim for sure, you know, we don't trust on this issue. So we force you, even if you're a Kohen, we force you even to bring witnesses to tell us how it happened, you know. But certainly we always need a mum, because otherwise people have a tendency to be makel or to make things worse than they are.
According to the Mishnah, you never go down.
But you never go down.
You
never bring up, you mean?
You never even go down to check.
No, you go down.
Go there.
If you saw Mum Kavua before
yesterday.
Yeah.
If you saw yesterday,
you could go down today. Now, the Braisa, here comes the Braisa, says something very different. Tana Rabbana. Bechor Tam Shenafal Abor. Now, already, the moment we hear those words, Bechor Tam, so we should say to ourselves, hold on a second, Bechor Tam, there's nothing to discuss. Bechor Tam is definitely Muktz. I mean, and not Rabbi Yehuda would be Matir, not Rabbi Shimon would be Matir, and Rabbi Shimon also said in Amun Amuchan. So what is there even to discuss? So the moment you hear the words of Bechor Tam, you understand that it must be that whatever Halacha, whatever Tana is going to tell us now, it must be that he holds that even a Bechor Tam is considered to be not Mukta. It's considered to be Mukta, because always that. In other words, I'm always waiting. When I have a Bechor, I know that there's no hope in my life with this Bechor. I'm going to be stuck with it. What am I going to do with this Bechor? Because it's Kadosh Mirechem. There's nothing I can't take off the Kedusha from the Bechor. So I'm basically always hoping, oh, today's the day, it's going to slip, it's going to break a leg, I don't know, but halavai, something should happen today, so I should, because this is a tzara gedela for me, okay? So therefore, the Tana that follows clearly holds that there's bechlal no issue of muks on the Bechor. I'm always waiting for something to happen to Bechor Tam. Okay, so comes along now, Rabbi Yehuda Hagasi, not to be confused with Rabbi Yehuda that was arguing with Rabbi Shimon, who is Tam Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Loi. So now Rabbi Yehuda, not seen a later generation. So he comes along and he says, Yered Mumche, Vire, so let the Mumche go down into the bar on Yantin. Im Yeshbo Mum. Now, if because now he fell into the bar, so maybe he broke a leg, so let the Mumche go and see. So then Yalev Yishchot, Vim Lav Lo Yishchot. So in other words, the only issue that Rabbi Yehuda Anasi was coming to Paskin is that Rayin Mumin on Yontif, and there's no problem, even if it was Nafalba, apparently on Yontif anyway. Amar le Rabbi Shimon ben Menasya, I don't understand. Hare Amru, we know that the Dorot that came before us, because Reb Shimon Bar Yochai came before. So we're Talmidim of them. And they were already talking about, we saw in our Mishnah, that Ein Rayin Mumin B'Yomtiv, right? And let me explain. When I say Ein Rayin Mumin B'Yomtiv, Ketzad. And here's the way they said it over. Noilad Bo Mumin Erev Yomtiv, you have an animal that had a Mumin Erev Yomtiv, but you don't know whether the Mumche hadn't yet been Matarit. So in that case, Ein Mivakrin Otsa B'Yomtiv. You cannot call the Mumche that he should check it out on Yomtiv to see whether it was okay. Okay, so that sounds like a lechatchila. Ein mevakrin, all right, but lemaise, if you found out that it was okay, and you never shechted, it's okay. Neilad b'mum b'yamta. So there, Rabbi Shimon, this is Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, that's your Rabbi. So Rabbi Shimon, Aimer, ein ze min amucha, that this is considered to be eino min amucha, meaning afilu b'diavad. So in this case, you wouldn't be able to shecht it, because it would be like going ahead. Rashi's pshat would be like danas adin geizer. Yeah, we're geizer on that you can't do that. We can't do it in afil b'diavad. According to Tosfos, in amen amuchan, because of the fact that it's also to be raya mum, it becomes now mukta. Vishavim. Now both Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, however, would be meida sheim nolad hu umumo umo, that a bechor that was born today. And it was born with a mum, so then mevakrim ato miyamta v'chatchila. Then there was no problem because it was always muchan agav imai. If I had shechted the mother, I'm exactly have eaten the child as a ben bakua, there'd be no problem. So memela, now that it's born, and the moment that it's born already has a mum, so what's the problem? So it was muchan from before, it's muchan now. So let me go ahead and eat it.
8 days.
I'm not bringing the korban, I'm eating it. I know that your madrega is.
I thought we learned it.
Couldn't. I didn't know you were like Melech.
Amen. I thought you can't shut it before.
No, that's only if there's a chash, that it's a mefal. Yeah, but if it's called a chadash, there's no problem. So now we have that means over here, Ashita, that it would be no problem to be matir if there was a mum there before. Omer le Reb Nachman said to Reb Shimon ben Menasya, Abba tanim im ovaru bikro mevukar. V'at amet mevakrino so lechatchila. How did you say over here that they're made him that mevakrino so biyomtov lechatchila, when my father said over this price, and he said it over only as a b'diavad, that if a mumcha would have come in this case where it was born, who v'mumo imo, that then it would be considered to be min amucha. Omer Abaye says Abaye, well, that's the way his father said it, but the truth is kavase, the Rabba Bar Avuna is much more reasonable. Because Rabba Bar Avuna was saying that noladu imo is mevakra solachatchila. That's reasonable, because take a look at the way Rabbi Shimon Manasya said over the Maimer from Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Here's how he said it. Three separate cases, he said, right? Minitoni, Tlasa Babi. We have three cases. Started with the case, Noilad Bo Mumi Erev Yomtev, Ein Mevakrino So B'Yomtev. Okay, Ein Mevakrino So the Lashon of Do Not Be Mevaker means a Chatchila, okay? So that means a Chatchila Hudalo, but Hadi Avad, if you went ahead and did it, so then fine, Shapir Domi. That's case A. Case B. Nolad bo mum biyomto. Rabbi Shimon Omer ein zemen amuchan. Okay, so ein zemen amuchan means that afilu diavad zemen amuchan. We answer it namilo. According to Rashi, because of the gzeira. According to Tosfos, because it's literally ein zemen amuchan. Then you come along now and you say v'shavim sheim nolad hu umumo imo shezemen amuchan. Is that what they said in the bright? No. So what is that case? Vishavim. That's got to mean a third case, meaning that even lechatchila. Da filo lechatchila nami. Because if it wasn't lechatchila, but we have to have it in a separate bava over here. You could have put it together with the first bava, in which ayabo mumu miyamta, mi'er v'yamta, Or Noelad Hurva Mumo Imo Biyomta. So then Im Bikromavukar, basically you're telling me that Bidiavad it's okay to use. Since it was put into a third Bava all on its own, where Bava A was clearly only a problem of Chatkila. And then the Bava Metzia was clearly a case even Bidiavad. So then this Bava Basra has got to be talking about that it's even Lachatkila, which is exactly what Rabbi Baravuna said. You could go ahead, call the mumcha, let him see it, and then it's kosher, even Lachatkila. So Rav Nachman is complaining that he heard it said that the din was only Bidiavad, that if the mumcha said, he must be wrong. And I like the way Rabbi Baravuna said it. Says Abai. Makes sense? Says the Gemara, yeah, it makes sense the way you just said it. The problem is, the Rakiyasar of Hoshaya, when Hoshaya came from Eretz Yisrael, he came back with a different Braita, which indicated that the way we said it was wrong. And the way that he had it was as follows. Bein shenolad bo mumi erev yom tov, ubein shenolad bo mum be yom tov, Chachamim omrim ein ze mina muchan. Clearly this is Rabbi Shimon, right? So the whole analysis that you just made was built on the assumption that there's three bavot, and that in bava A, it wasn't eino mina muchan, it was just ein matirin lechatchila. But we could, if we did it, we could use it. But now that you're telling me that afilu b'diavad, now we don't have the first bava, which was l'chatchila not. So we no longer could have mixed the first case and the last case, because there is no first case. So now the whole proof goes down the drain, because how do you know that when it said in the end, that it said v'shavim, that if it was nailat hu v'muma imai, that it's okay, how do you know that means it's okay l'chatchila? Maybe it means it's okay if a mumcha saw it, but not that you're allowed to call the mumcha. So we're back now. If Reb Nachman's father had said over the Braisa, not like the way that Rabbi Baravuna said it, so how do we know now that he's wrong? On the contrary, Rabbi Baravuna must be wrong. He misunderstood the Braisa. Because the way we have it, at least the way Rav Oshaya was saying the Braisa, is completely wrong. So he's going, well, what do you mean it's completely wrong? I mean, but I got a Braisa too. I mean, how do you know which one? Elakasha Hachman, what about the way we read the Braisa, there were three separate Bavot, and it went L'chatchila, and then, I mean, Bidiavad, and then Afil L'chatchila Tzmuter. So we had L'chatchila Aser, Bidiavad Asur, and then L'chatchila Mutar. No, they had their Moshe Baruch in those days also. His name was Ada Baruchmi. Whenever anything went wrong, they blamed it on him. Yeah, it's a Gilgal. Says the Gemara, that's who Ada Baruchmi. That Braita was set over by Ada Baruchmi. To be Shabbish, but he always gets things backwards. So the Meshabesh Vatani, he said over the Braita backwards. He always gets, he mixes it up, he forgets it, he says it over. So we were saying over a Braita that it was wrong. There were no three Bavot, there were actually two Bavot, in which the first two, which was Neilad, whether it was Neilad by Meher of Yantav, Neilad by Anyat, Venom and Abuch, and Alibad Rabbi Shimon. And then we had the Veshavin, that B'diavad, if the Mumchet saw it, because it was born with the Mums, as it was Muchan Agavima before Shabbos, before Yontem, so it's okay. So then, in other words, we come out that actually Reb Nachman's father was correct, that we should have said it, that imovaru bikra, and alechatchila, you could be mavakarit. Reb Nachman bar Yitzchak, you know, you went through all of this rigmarole over here to figure out whether it was lechatchila b'yavad. The truth is, take a look in our Mishnah. In the Mishnah, it seems clear, matnisinami daika, diktani, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Kol she'ein mumo nikar mi'erev yom tov, ein ze min ha-muchan. Explain to me. Well, what's that whole additional language that he says? Kol she'ein mumo nikar. What exactly is the meaning in the Mishnah of the words kol she'ein mumo nikar? He's not referring stamp to this case. What do you say? Kol she'ein mumo nikar. My ein mumo nikar. What, meaning what? She'ein mumo nikar klal. What? Rabbi Shimon has to tell Rabbi Yudah a lesson. Listen, Rabbi Yudah, I know. You must have forgotten the dinim of muktzah. I just want to remind you that if there was no mum there at all, then it would be muktzah. I mean, I don't personally, you know, it's not my issue, but you're very big on the muktzah topic. Yeah, it's crazy, but he's coming now to remind Rabbi Yudah about muktzah. Pshita, in particular, Neymar. That he would have to respond to Rabbi Yudah with the din of muktzah. Ella, the meaning of ein mumonikar must mean, ko deloyis chazi l'chachamir of yom tov. It means it wasn't nikar imum kabua, imum over. And what does it say? Katani miyat. Ein ze minamucha nu. So shma mina. You don't have the mumcha from before. So then you can't bring the mumcha now. Does it say? Ein ze minamucha. It says clearly now, the two cases are one, exactly the way that Reb Nachman's father must have understood the way Reb Hoshaya brought the brisa. Doesn't matter whether you had it before, doesn't matter whether you had it only now, it wasn't nicker before. In either case, you cannot use it. So this new case is a new case with Vashavim. Means b'diavad you can use it, but who says it means a chatchila? Now, of course, this raises a very fascinating question. Because lemaisa between that, we're saying, was muchana gavimai, as long as the mother was still carrying this bechor, of course it wasn't a bechor while she was carrying it, but what would be the bechor? So it wasn't muktzah, because I could have shechted the mother. Right? And now it's not muktzah, because now I see that it has a mum. The problem is, what about the 10 minutes between the time that it's born with the mum, and the time that the mumcha paskins that it's a mum kavua, because I can't be semechana that it's a mum kavua. So during that time, it was definitely muktzah. So that now raises the question. I mean, we know that there's a concept of something that was huktzah, ben hashmashot, is huktzah l'kol hayom kula, right? How about if something becomes muktzah during Shabbos, or during Yontif? And then it becomes unmuktzah again. This is over here. Is that the same thing as Muktzah ben Hashmashot? Or there's like, there's a concept of Muktzah for a while, and then if whatever it was that made it untenable during that time goes, and now it becomes usable again. How exactly does that work? And that is basically catalyzes the next piece of Gemara. Boim ne revilo mirov. Yesh Muktzah l'chatzi Shabbat, ein Muktzah l'chatzi Shabbat. Meaning over here, if something was Muktzah during a period of Shabbos, does it remain mukta even though now the thing that caused the haktza'ah is gone or not? Now remember that the word mukta itself refers to the classical case of mukta. The very word mukta is the word that was used for the area where they would dry peirot. They would set aside peirot. You would take anavim, let's say. You would take grapes in order to turn them into raisins. Put them up on the roof on a drying beam. That was called the muktzah. During the period that they were drying, they were not edible. So that they're not grapes, and they're not yet raisins. They're just disgusting. Nobody eats them. So that's where the word muktzah comes from. It's got to be Bank Mizrahi. They always know that I'm in the middle of shear. Stop it. Yeah, it's got to be. So therefore, when we want to translate the question of Yesh Muktzah L'chatzi Shabbat, we'll translate it in these classical terms. Now, a guy is eating grapes, now he decides to make them raisins. Whatever. So what exactly is the case? How does the case work? If these peirot were edible already at the time that Shabbat was chal, or Yom Tov was chal, so they're already dried. So what's the problem? So ichsi. So now they're kosher. Vida lo ichsi. So then lo ichsi. If not, they're not kosher. So what's the question? So then for sure you can't use them because they weren't muchan. Everybody agrees. You need for it to be muchan. It has to be edible before yonta. So then what's the shayla? Whether what? If it becomes, you're asking if it becomes edible in the middle of yonta, whether now it's kosher? The answer is no. No, no. His question was like this. It happened over here that indeed they were roy to eat at the time that Yontav was chal.
As raisins.
And now, let's say it rained. Now they absorbed the water, they swelled up. Now you need to let them dry out. So that's my question. So what's the law? Omar Leis, he said, Yesh Muktzah. Once they become inedible, now you can't use them the whole Shabbos. So then, of course, this is what we were waiting for. Eisvei, we asked him, from our case, V'shavim she'im nolad, umumoi moshes emben amuchat. You're telling me that if the mother gives birth to this bechor on Yontif proper, then as long as there's a mum, you could definitely eat it, and there's no problem. Why is that? Why don't we say like this? Amai. Name a high bechor. You're right that at the beginning of Yantav Mikra v'chazi agavime. Okay, so it was chazi. So then that's the same as the case of the grapes, that in this case they were perfectly edible raisins at the beginning of Yantav. Now the bechor is yalidle. So at the moment that it was born, itchile, because now I can't check because I don't have a psak halacha that this is a mumkavua from a mumcha. That's the case of the rain now coming down on the raisins and making them inedible. Now comes along the Chocham, Achazi L'Chocham. The Chocham sees it and it says over here it's mutter. So that should be the case of the raisins drying out. And you said Yesh Muksa L'Chatzi Shabbos. So why over here we say the same thing by the Bechor, since it was also for those 10 minutes before the Mumcha Paskin. Omar Abai Vitaim Rav Safgun De Yasvi Dayanayata. It's talking about that the mother gave birth in front of the Mumchim, and as the Bechor was Nailat, he immediately saw, oh, look at this, it's coming out with the Mum. So there never was a time where it was Nailat that it would have not have a Mum on it. That was Roy L'Shech B'Shchit. So that must be the case that it's talking about. Now, Ikedi Amre, the truth is that this was said over backwards also. That Omar lay, that when after Hillel asked Rava what's it did in Muksa L'Chatzis Shabbos, Rava said to him, Ein Muksa L'Chatzis Shabbos, it becomes mutter to eat. And in this version, we tried to bring a raya from our case. So, Leimim Misayele, V'Shavim Shim Noladim Umoi Moshe Zemino Mechan. And why don't we say to ourselves, why is everybody made as a zemin amuchan? I, this Bechor, even though Mikar, that was Chazi Agavime. But the problem was it yalidle. Now it became nitche. So yitchele. Now the moment that the Chokham paskin Chazi Lemchokham, so now yishtrele. And in this version, Abaya, Vitemir of Safra, come along to tell me that, look, I could be, but you can't bring a riot from here. Because you could always say that maybe it's talking about Gunda Yatvi Deyaneyata. Okay, so we don't have a raya, in other words. So now the Gemara says, Toshma, let's see if we can bring a raya. And again, bring a raya from the classical case. A guy is sitting and eating grapes. Hayal chel ba'anavim. And he's filled up. He doesn't want to eat anymore. Votir. So he decides, what am I going to begin? Let my grapes now go to the garbage. I'll put them up to dry and I'll have raisins. So he goes ve'alan l'gag la'asot b'am simukim. If you have leftover grapes, this wasn't a disposable society. If you have leftover grapes, you turn them into raisins, of course. So he goes, he puts them on the roof. Or he's eating te'inim, he has some leftover, he goes up, puts the te'inim on the roof to make grogrot, which are dry te'inim. So the halacha is, lo yochal mihem achi yazmin mi ba'odion. He can't eat from these things now on Shabbos or on Yantav, unless he said, I want to eat from them miba'odion. Now, I'd like to understand what this is. And the same thing would be, I don't care, chenata motzei ba'afar sakim, v'chavushim, v'shalkum mini perot, any type of fruit that is made into a dried fruit, dried peaches or dried quinces, or any other type of peros, which reminds me, you guys in Joburg, just don't forget. My kids are waiting for those dried South African fruits. Anybody who comes, please keep us in mind. Sehechidami. So now, explain what the case is when you say that he has to be mazmi miba odion. What's that supposed to mean? Itechozu. What? If lemaisa, by the time Yontev or Shabbos was chal, we had a bunch of raisins. So I said, what do I need hazmana for? I put them up there lechatchila to dry to use them. No, so what's shayach hazmana? So what do I need hazmana for? Lomali? Sorry?
You put them up on the roof on Shabbos?
No. Before Shabbos.
Oh, that's confusing.
No. This is before Shabbos. So what do I need hazmana for? Idolochazo. And if it's not Roy, what's gonna help? You've decided you're mazmin them. If it wasn't Roy at the time of Chalois of Shabbos or Yontif, it doesn't help that you're mazmin them because neither were Muksa ben Hashmashas. They're not considered to be Mukhan for Yontif, whether you'd like to use them or not.
But if that was on Shabbos, it certainly wouldn't be raisins.
You were not talking about on Shabbos. And if they were talking about from a month ago.
If they're still edible as regular fruit, is he saying?
They're not edible. Once you put them up, that's what a Muksa means.
I'm trying to make sure I understand.
So v'chitem et lo yoda. Maybe the point is the guy's too lazy to go up to the roof. So he says to himself, look, whatever, I'll go up tomorrow and I'll see. But l'maisa, if they're finished, I'd like to eat them. Understand? So in other words, you're saying that the hazmana doesn't really, if I knew, so I don't need hazmana. But the hazmana is that my mind, like this I would say, if you don't say anything, and you didn't go up to check, so out of sight, out of mind, it's considered to be muktzah. Therefore, you're being mazmin that we should say, okay, so it's obviously that daiti eluyim mibaod yom, and you were thinking about it, and you'll find out tomorrow. The problem is, we can't say that pshat, because the Omer of Kahana, muktzah shiavash ve'ena ba'alim makirin bo mutar, that by definition, when anybody sets aside fruit, and he puts it out to dry, he does not need to know Me'erev Shabbos and Erev Yontov that it's roy, because he's always waiting to eat it. So when he checks it in the morning and it's roy, clearly it wasn't drying overnight, it was drying in the sun. So he knows that it was roy, so he eats it. You don't need for him to be mazmin. It's not shayach hazmona bichlo. So therefore, what's the case? Either it was usable or it wasn't usable. El alav, there's only one possible explanation. Albeit it sounds a bit stretched, but what else could it mean? Must be the pshad is elalav dechazu veitchu vohadar ichzu. Must be the pshad was like this, that he said to himself, look, I'd like to eat these raisins. If it rains overnight, so I still want to eat them after they dry out in the afternoon. So he's making a hazmana to be able to use it even though they were nitchu during the day. So if you're going to tell me, I amit ein mukta, if you're going to tell me that there's no such thing as a mukta l'chatzi Shabbos, so what's the point? Lomalu azmana, why would he have to have in mind? Must be, he has to have it in mind, because if he didn't have it in mind, I would have said that yesh mukta l'chatzi Shabbos, and since it was mukta, it remains mukta the rest of the day. And he's coming now to be mazmin to say, now hold on a minute. I know it's going to rain overnight, but I also know it's going to dry. So therefore, my das is on it the whole time that it shouldn't be mukta after it dries. That must be why he's being mazmin it. Says the Gemara, oh no, my friend. Sorry. Because what are you trying to say? Elamai, yesh mukta. So, yesh mukta. So therefore, if there's mukta, hazmana is going to help. Ki hazmin lomai havi. Doesn't help. That's like saying the stuff wasn't dry at night. So it wasn't mukhan for before Yontov. So a guy gets up and he says, look, that's for the plebeians. It wasn't mukhan before Yontov. I am a very brilliant guy and I know it'll be mukhan tomorrow afternoon at 12 o'clock. So I want to eat it tomorrow. That's going to help. It's not going to help. The same thing over here. If you hold that yesh mukhan l'chatzisha, what does it help for you to say? But wait, I'm waiting for it. You're waiting for it. Thank you very much. That's what Mukta L'Chatzi Shabbos means. It doesn't help to be waiting. So what good is your hazmana? So that doesn't make sense if that's the case. Therefore, Lo Tzricha D'Achzu V'Lo Achzu. That's the pshat. It must be that, look, these raisins over here are sort of raisins. They're not completely dry yet. Right? Okay, so ike inish de achle, ike inish de lo achle. So some people eat it and some people don't eat it. So if he goes out and he's mazmin it, what's the meaning of his azmon? It's a gilui dat. So he's saying, look, to me, this is edible. So then goli daite, and for him it's an enochinami, it's food. Lo azmin, but if he doesn't say, I want to eat this tomorrow, so then, logoli daite. So then we're assuming that, look, until it's completely dry, it's considered to be mukta. It has nothing to do with mukta v'chatzis Shabbos and so on. This is, by the way, accounts for the difference in the pronunciation in Eretz Yisrael and Chutz La'aretz when a kid doesn't want to eat something. So in Chutz La'aretz it says yach. And over here he says ichzi. That's ichzi. It's not right to eat, b'chlal. So according to him, it would be mukta. Must be. Oh. Sorry. Somebody had to do it.
But the hazmana is done beforehand when it's in this stage. You don't even know what it's going to be.
No, he knows. He's looking at it. Omer Rebbe Zera. Toshma mipolin vadashim. I don't understand. Nobody ever made a cholent and didn't hear it. What are you clearing with the yesh muktzah lachatzis Shabbos? We all know that a cholent is muktzah at the beginning of Shabbos. Go eat your polin vadashim before they've cooked. So polin vadashim mikore chozolukus. Here's what happens. You have now these fresh polin vadashim. If you want to, you can chew on it. Now, you're making a kedera on yantiv. Shadino the kedera. The moment you put them into the pot, now they're boiling them up. Atchalo, you can't eat them now while they're boiling. So now they're nitcha. Goma bishulayo, you finish cooking them, and now they're kosher, and you eat them. And everybody does this all the time on yantiv. So explain to me, how do you have avinir b'chlal that yesh muktzah l'chatzis Shabbos, yesh muktzah l'chatzis yantiv? It should always be osir from that point on, the moment that I put them into the pot. Hold on a second. What's Polin Vadashim have to do with the price of eggs in China? If this is your raya, you could have just said, Tikshilcha Kedera is the Alma. If you're going to say that when something is cooking, it's considered to be mukta. So what do you have to talk about Polin Vadashim? Why don't you say, how do we ever eat a cholent on Shabbos? Because during Bein HaShemashas, you can tell me it's mukta kulayuma, right? Now, Bein HaShemashah is all of the things that are cooking are not roy now. So now it should be, forget about Yantim. Now it's Muktzah Kulayuma. You come along in the morning, you take your cholent off the pot. I'm sorry, sir. It's Muktzah. Can't even take it off the pot. What do you think you're doing? Elamai, clearly, Lur Taklina Minayu. You see that, nonetheless, we go ahead and we take it off and we eat it. So clearly there's a difference between Gomrobi de Adam. Look, I mean, Bayamon, we don't call muktzah something which is in your hands. You're making the pot. Okay, the Shita learns of your gomro b'deyah. That means it's biyotcha to take it off at any time and to cool it down. But you don't have to come on to that. Gomro b'deyah, that means this whole thing is part of a process. You have a mind, l'chatchila. You're putting it in. It's going to be finished at such and such an hour. And then it'll be edible. That's part of the process. I consider it to be huktzah in between. But this, when something now is going through a natural curing process, and that's not you, you put it into a matzav where now nature will take care of it. That's not called Gomru Bidei Adam. There's where our question was, but Gomru Bidei Adam, lo kami baylan, ki kami baylan gomredi bidei shamayim, that's not in my hands. It's a question of how much sunlight there's going to be. It's a question of how much rain there's going to be. Once something's out of your hand, that's Hesach Hadas. The Hesach Hadas, that's greater in the status of muktzah. But where there's no Hesach Hadas, I have in mind the whole time to eat my cholent as soon as it's finished cooking. Obviously over there we don't say yesh muktzah l'chatzi Shabbat or yesh muktzah for the chatzi Yom Tov. B'chor sh'naf al abor Rabbi Yeromer yered mumcha v'yereh im yesh bo mum ya'alav yishchot v'im lav lo yishchot. Rabbi Shimon omer kol she'en mumo nikar mibod yom en zeh min amuchat. So but my can be forgiven. So then, it's a very simple case. No. Because so that case first, Lari Veliske, and then have the Mumcha look at it. Rabbi Yeshua. Say, Yachi, why does it say in the Mishnah, Lo Yishchot? It should say, Lo Ya'alev Yishchot mi boileh. No, that's a separate case. That's talking about Dovra Biaske. Tzalkadate chamina lishchate. Kamashma. Lishchate yatamu. Well, that's really enough of a mumma. So what? It's still a muktzah if it has a mumma on yantiv. No, enough of a mumma kavua. It's talking about mumma vermeerev yantiv. Hashtavili mum kavua. It's not a tema. The daite aluye venishchate kamashma. Tan rabbonim. Bechor tam. Shinafala bor. Rabbi Yehuda Nasi Omer Yered Mumche V'Yireh Im Yesh Bo Mum Ya'alev Yishchot V'im Lav Lo Yishchot Omer Lo Rabbi Shemim Menasi Harei Omro Ein Roim Mum B'Yom Tov Ketzat Nolad Bo Mum Erev Yom Tov Ein Mevakrin Lato B'Yom Tov Nolad Bo Mum B'Yom Tov Rabbi Shemim Omer Ein Zemen Amuchan At all V'Shavim Sh'im Nolad Hu Mumo Imo Sh'Zemen Amuchan Dora Shabba Baravuna Nolad Hu Mumo Imo Mevakrin Lato B'Yom Tov Even L'Chatchila That's mashmal chatchila. The law. Then it says, Nolad Bomun beyond Rabbi Shimon Oren Zemin Amukhar. That's Mashma Filo Bidiyavad Namilo. Then it says, Vishavim Shim Nolad Hu Mumo Imo Shezem Min Amukhar. So then it's Mashma like Rabbi Baravana said. Tafilo Chatkila Namil. Yeah, but Vakiata Rav Oshaya, Ata Vaitim Atita Biyadik, Bein Shnolad Bomum, Meher of Yom Tov. Bein Shnolad Bomum, Be Yom Tov. Chachamim Omrim, Ein Zemen Amuchan, over here the first two bavos are put together in one. And it's been, and it's even B'Riavad, it's also. Salakasha, that was Ata Baruch Meyu, the Meshabish Vatani. Omrim Nachu Bar Yitzchak Amadis, Nami Daika, the Ktani Rabbi Shimon Omer. So what's that case? My emu monikar, the what? Emu monikar klal. Pshita tzrichel ameimar. Ela de lo yitzchazi lechacha meir of Yom Tov. To see whether it's a mum kavu or a mum over. Vekatani miyat ein zemen amuchan. So you talk about a filo b'di avad. Shema amina, that actually the two bavas should have been one bava. And they're both b'di avad. Boy, me reveal me, Rob. Yesh muktzah lechatzis Shabbat, or in muktzah lechatzis Shabbat. Echi dami. I dichsi ben hashmashot, dichsi. The lo ichsi, lo ichsi. Lo tzricha, the ichsi ve'adar itchi. So, adar ichsi again. So, my. Omala yesh muktzah. Esve, v'shav v'shim neila namu ma'im, v'shizem ben amuchan. Amai, neima hai b'chor mi'ikora ha'vechozi agavime. It's yadu da itchi le. Ichaz yedokokam now ishtre le. Om rabbi v'item rev safa. That could be the case. It's going to yasi dayane ata. And in this version, we said, that Vishavim, Shim Nolad, Umumoi Moshe, Zemin Amuchan, Ay, Bechor Mi Korah, because the Agadime, but the moment it was his Yalad, it was Yitchele. Now, Echazi Lechacham, Yishterele. So why isn't it Chalimukzi Lechatzi Yantet? Om Rabbi Vitemer Safra, Kegon Diyatzi Dayane Hatam. It's no right. Tashma. Or he was eating teinim, hotir ve'lanagag lasot megargarot. So lo yochami ad sheyazmin mebod yom. V'chein ata motzei ba'afarsakim, chavushim, shakol minei perot. Eid chozu, so what's this hazmona jazz? Eid lo chozu, what's going to help to have hazmona? It's my avi. V'chiteima de lo yada, chozu lo chozu, and he's too lazy to go and find out. Amar of Kana, he doesn't need Hazman anyway. Mukta Shiavash, even Ena Bali Makirimba. It's Mutter, so was Yafi Mazman. El Alav. Must be that his Hazman was like this. That Chazav Yitru Vodar Achs. See, he wanted to be Mazman to use it in the later half of the day after it dried out from the rain. See, Yamit, Ein Mukta. Why is he so need Hazman? Excuse me? See, my Yesh Mukta, so Kiaz with my Havi. Therefore, the case has to be lo tzricha de achzu v'lo achzu. Diyike inchi de achli, in this fashion, we get you lo achli. So, if azmin goli daite, lo azmin lo goli daite, omer abizera tashma mi pulin v'adashin mi korach hozolokus. The moment shadinu bekedera, now itchlu. Goma bishulayu, now hozolu. Omer abayis, the time that tikshulokha kedera is the yama. Stam kederes the yama ben ashrash is rotcha saying. Nonetheless, everybody eats on Shabbos, huh? Lur tachlinu minayim. El, I have to admit that gamrobi de adam is a whole different issue. Lo kabi boilon, obviously we don't say yesh buktzu lachatzi Shabbos there. Ki kabi boilon, gamrobi de shamayim. Therefore, don't bring men orayas from pulin vadashim either.